You are listening to the Gerwick Report Podcast.
The podcast that tells it like it is.
With Steve Gerwick.
Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Frank D.
Fabulous. Frankie Frankster D.
And Gerwick.net Hall of Famer Theodore R. Long.
Holla holla, player.
Episode 133 of the GRP, the Gerwick Report Podcast, the podcast that tells it like it is. I want to welcome you to the latest edition and encourage everybody out there for all your pro wrestling news. Check out www.gerwek.net for all your pro wrestling news. Pro wrestling,
damn it.
Since 1997, but I'm not alone. My tag team partners are back. The triple threat is in effect. Real quickly, let me tag in my longtime tag team partner, the Frankster himself, Frank D.
Fabulous Frankie Frankster D, Steve. And I'm telling you right now, man, it's 10 o'clock here on the West Coast, and it's already 86 degrees outside. You know what? We got to send it over to the third member of this triple threat. He is a former general manager of SmackDown and ECW. He is a former manager of the first black WCW World Heavyweight Champion, Ron Simmons, and he is an all-around true boss. He is the head HNIC, the one and only Mr. Teddy Long. How you doing today, player?
Hey, what's going on with you, player? And to emphasize on that, I am the original HNIC, and you better believe that, Steve Areno. Holla, 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 player.
Let's catch up with Teddy, because last week we were talking that you had some shows coming up, and I know I saw your social media out there, pictures with Ron Simmons, Buff Bagwell, Ric Flair. Recap the weekend and how those shows went.
Well, those shows were outstanding. I mean, real good shows. The first one was last Thursday. We were in Ringo, Georgia for WrestleJam. There's an independent wrestler down there, Paul Lee. He calls himself the Nature Boy. Well, he's the one that is the promoter, and he runs that show every year. Also, had a good time with Ron Simmons. You know, it's always a pleasure to be with my man. Me and him, we go way back. Had a chance to see another guy that I managed back in the day was Marcus the Stuff Bagwell. He was there, so there are pictures on my Twitter with him also. And also, what an honor it was for me to be over there, take a picture and have a little talk with the Nature Boy. 16-time world champion Ric Flair and WWE Hall of Famer. So it was great seeing all those guys. The show did good. They made a lot of money, and all of us there, we made money. So that's the good part about it. And also, this past Saturday, I went down to New Orleans, Louisiana for the Wildcat Sports, and the promoter there is Luke Hawk. And the announcement that we made at Wildcat Sports is that I'm coming in now as the new general manager for Wildcat Sports, and we just signed a TV deal with WUPL, Channel 54 in New Orleans, and we're going to start taping our TV shows in September. So it's going to be a great big time for Wildcat Sports, and I'm just happy to be a part of it. And I want to thank Luke Hawk and all the wrestling fans down there in Louisiana around Metairie in New Orleans that came out and supported Wildcat Sports and were certainly happy with me coming over there as the new GM.
So Teddy is returning to television, not with WWE, but with Luke Hawk's group. That's great.
And I saw it, Steve. I saw it on Facebook, the pictures from this show. They had drew an incredible house for an indie show. I was very impressed by it. And to have Teddy Long on their show as a general manager, I wish him nothing but success.
Hey, thank you guys very much. And, you know, like you said, you know, you saw the pictures. They had an outstanding house, and that's because it's done professional. You know, these guys are professional. They have a lot of great talent there, guys that get in the ring and bust their asses. And they have some lady divas there, too, that are great workers, too. And everybody there works real hard, and they want to make it work. They want to be, make it, you know, become a success, and everybody wants to make money. That's the bottom line. So Frank D, Steve Areno, thank you guys for all your support too, because by you guys not, you know, having me on this podcast and stuff, all that helps too. So thank you guys very much.
Well, it's always our pleasure to talk to you. We look forward to it every week here on the Gerwick Report podcast. Now, I've got to say, Teddy, I was a little surprised because I think it was one of the interviews we did with you. Your least favorite guy to manage was Marcus Buff Bagwell. How's he doing? Has he had a little bit of an attitude change over the years?
Well, you know what people have to realize, you know, sometimes back in the day, you know, you go through some things with people, you know, and, you know, I don't want to carry nothing to my grave. So, and what I mean by that, you know, whatever, you know, problems Bagwell and I had in the past, you know, I buried a hatchet. You know what I mean? Because, like I said, back then, you know, all of us was, you know, taking a lot of illegal shit. So, you know, and then telling how that shit was making people act. So, you know, I think he's got a change in attitude from the time that I talked with him, you know, this past Thursday. And, you know, he seemed like a different guy. So everybody changes. I don't know whether he's changed or not, but in, you know, in my view, the time that I spent with him this Thursday, you know, he seemed like a changed guy with a great attitude, and congratulations to Marcus Bagwell if he has.
Absolutely, and I want to mention too, prowrestlingtees.com/Gerwick, 8 great designs, $17.99 per shirt plus shipping and handling, and you can also listen to the Gerwick Report podcast in addition to Gerwick.net. You can download us on iTunes. You can listen to us stream on TuneIn and Stitcher Radio. Our YouTube channel, the YouTube subscribers are growing, Frank, and more content going to be added this week.
Yeah, YouTube.com/Gerwick.net is blowing up, man. We have over 900 subscribers right now. We want to thank everybody out there that has, you know, took the time to check out our YouTube channel and to check out our content out there and subscribe and like our videos. We definitely appreciate that. We got more content coming soon. Probably going to have some clips from this show. I'm sure myself and Abby Green are going to do another episode of The Raw Deal. And we got some other things on the horizon, Steve. You know, we just don't want to talk about wrestling on our YouTube channel. Myself and Abby, we're big movie buffs. We're big into Marvel and DC, so we're going to be talking about that universe. And a lot of different things got planned coming up for the YouTube channel. So like and subscribe, youtube.com/Gerwick.net today.
Since the last podcast we did, my goodness, everything exploded. Right after we did the podcast last week, Teddy was actually alluding to this on the last podcast regarding Eden, her status with the company. I think, Teddy, you mentioned that you had heard that maybe she'd already wanted her release. Right after we did the podcast, I saw right before she did the SmackDown taping last week, she confirmed the rumors that she was going to be leaving the company. It pretty much had to be that way, Teddy, because it'd be very difficult to work for a company where your husband's gone, some things had happened, maybe some friction on the social media. I guess it had to happen for Eden to leave the company.
Well, you know, in her case, you know, I would agree with what you just said. But, you know, I've been in this business a long time, and I've seen a lot of guys that have got released and their girlfriends or wives that still work for the company without any problem. So, but, you know, I think Eden, you know, is a woman that stands by a man. So if it ain't happy for him, then it ain't happy for her. So I applaud her for that. So, like I said, these people are not dumb. It's her and Cody Rhodes. They're not dumb people. They're real smart. And they know that, you know, life goes on. You know, there has to be something, life after wrestling, or either life after the WWE. And that's what I think that they're going to prove and show to everybody, that there is a life and a better life after the WWE.
We wish her well in whatever her future endeavors might be. I think she mentioned that she had a new job offer. So we'll see where that takes her. Of course, with social media, you stay attuned to what's going on with these personalities. But Frank, I thought overall, very underrated ring announcer. I thought she did a pretty good job for WWE.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with her. I thought she did a pretty good job as a ring announcer. I thought she looked very good out there. You know, she'll be missed. But, you know, we still have JoJo around there, too. So I'm pretty sure that, you know, she will find success wherever she goes, just like Cody will. And as a matter of fact, Steve, Cody Rhodes' first match after leaving WWE, he's going to be actually taking on Kurt Angle for Northeast Wrestling Under the Stars on Saturday, August 27th. So that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, and we should mention that Cody Rhodes actually put out a little bucket list. I believe he's officially released from the company, gets his 90 days cycle, where he still gets paid until August 19th, and then he'll be free to accept bookings, make appearances. But he did have Kurt Angle on his bucket list, something that appeared on social media. So Kurt Angle will be the first he could put a check mark there. that he'll be facing him in August. Actually, my birthday, August 27th, so that'll be a really great show, I'm sure. They got a lot of big names announced for that show. But Frank, I just thought it was kind of unusual, his bucket list. He had a lot of different names, a lot of different promotions. I know Moose from ROH was on there, the Young Bucks, the Miracle, which is what, Mike Bennett from TNA, Roderick Strong, who is in Ring of Honor currently, and Chris Hero. So there were some interesting names on that list.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the top indie talents from around the country are on this list. And I actually want to see a lot of these matchups. But as we were talking offline, there was one name that wasn't on the list, and that's kind of surprising, was the Ring of Honor World Champion, Jay Lethal.
Yeah, if you're going to list all the talent in ROH, and the list wasn't just ROH talent, it was obviously independent talent. It wasn't just Ring of Honor talent, but it was interesting. You know, Teddy, you would think if you're going to point out that you want to take on all this Ring of Honor talent, and there's a lot of really good talent in Ring of Honor currently, but you would think maybe you'd put on your list Jay Lethal, the current ROH champion, but, you know, maybe he figures he's going to start on the bottom and maybe work his way up that company.
Well, you know, neither one of us can really, you know, answer that question because we don't know what Cody Rhodes is thinking. But I'm sure that he is very familiar with the Ring of Honor champion, Jay Lethal. I'm sure he knows him. And you know, like I said, let's see what happens with him and Kurt Angle here. Let's get this thing over with and let's see, you know, maybe he may add somebody else to that bucket list. But I think this is going to be a great match between Cody and Kurt Angle. I'm definitely wish I could see that. This is going to be outstanding. And I think after that, we'll find out exactly what direction Cody Rhodes is going to be going.
But he also put on his list, too. The Miracle, you know, Mike Bennett from TNA is also on that list. So, I mean, he could be, you know, venturing down to TNA land as well.
Yeah, I would think this August 27th show will be either, what, maybe an internet pay-per-view or a DVD release for sure. So they're going to definitely make some money off this match. It's a match that people want to see. And, of course, also, after we did the last podcast, probably the biggest news of last week was that officially WWE reinstituted the brand split. They've announced on July 19th, SmackDown goes to a live format weekly, and they will institute two separate rosters. There's going to be a Raw roster, a SmackDown roster. You think a lot of the NXT talent will also be called up to fill out these rosters. Now that you're going to have two unique rosters. Teddy, is this the right direction to go moving forward?
Well, you know, I have to say this. You know, they did this once before. It did work for them, and it worked very well. We went from the, you know, we did a lot of great pay-per-views when I was there called Bragging Rights, where SmackDown had the chance to go against Raw to see which was a better brand. So I do think that they're going in the right direction with this, but what really worries me is the talent is they're going to need a lot of more guys, and I hope maybe they're bringing up some new people from NXT, but to just have SmackDown, you know, with its own talent and own brand, I think they're certainly going to need a whole lot of guys. There's no sense in doing that if you're going to just still do the same thing, send the same guy from Raw to go over to SmackDown. And with this being a live show, I think that's going to, you know, really help them. But, you know, like I said, the only thing that concerns me is the talent, you know, where they're going to get them from to put on SmackDown to make this thing really work like they want it to work.
What do you think, Frank? They go back to the Raw and SmackDown exclusive pay-per-views moving forward?
You know, me and Allie actually talked about this on the Raw deal the other day, and that's exactly what they need to do. They need to have their own storylines going on for both shows. So if SmackDown is going to have its own storyline, SmackDown needs its own pay-per-views, and I guess they're going to probably do that. But my concern right now, Steve, is because is the fact that NXT, you know, how does NXT come into play here? Because Triple H sent out a tweet saying that the NXT Revenge show has actually been turned into NXT The End. So that's, you know, a lot of people are speculating right now if WWE is getting rid of the NXT live event specials that they do on the network in favor of them and NXT being absorbed into this brand split. So a lot of people are concerned right now with the status of NXT moving forward. I'm kind of one of those people. I watch NXT because NXT has its own flavor, has its own storylines, has its own thing going on the network, and it has nothing to do with the main shows. So if you're taking a lot of these feuds from NXT, I mean, what do you do? If you're getting rid of the live specials, do you take the NXT matches and you put them on the main roster pay-per-views going forward? I mean, what do you do here? So I'm a little concerned about the future of NXT right now.
Yeah, not to mention, Teddy, as well, I would think if they're going to do the separate Raw and SmackDown brands, and we're talking about, you know, pay-per-view specials, as a touring group, obviously you're going to have Raw-only house shows, SmackDown-only house shows. Yeah, I think what's going to happen is maybe it'll phase out more of the NXT on tour because a lot of the talent's going to be called up to one of the main rosters, and in the future you're going to either go to a Raw live event or a SmackDown live event.
And the other thing that I think that, you know, this may not happen, but, you know, I think that they will probably phase out some of those live events. Because I remember, you know, Vince saying his own self that one day that it would just become a TV company. They would just be doing TVs and pay-per-views. And I'm sure they're going to continue to do some live events. But like I said, I think that they'll probably phase some of them out. And they may not, you know, there may be just certain arenas that they will do the live events in.
What do you think, Frank? You think this delays maybe the releases? We've heard, you know, possibly there'd be some more cuts coming. We've already seen a handful of talents being cut. Do you think this will delay any future talent cuts for this year?
I don't necessarily think it's going to delay any talent cuts. My only issue, you know, that I'm having as far as the announcement of the brand split is, why didn't they do this at Payback? Well, you had Vince McMahon in the same ring with Stephanie and Shane, which he decided that night, which is what I predicted right here on this show, that they were going to go ahead and co-run Raw. Why didn't you say right there, okay, we're going to shake things up, we're going to have a brand split, we're going to have Stephanie run Raw, Shane run SmackDown, or whatever the case may be. Why did you wait to do it? It would have been way bigger if they had announced this at Payback on the pay-per-view. But nonetheless, I don't think it's going to delay anything. So if they're going to release you, if you were already on the list of being released, they're going to release you because they got a lot of talents down there, like I said, at NXT. And I'm really kind of, you know, like I said, concerned a little bit about where they're going here. The one thing I think is kind of funny, though, out of all these situations here, one component that's been missing on TV as of late is one Triple H.
So you're speculating Triple H returns as general manager to one of the two shows here?
I would think that if, you know, they could have Stephanie and Shane continue to run Raw, and then you have Triple H maybe come in as a GM of SmackDown. And that's how you give Triple H something to do. Because eventually Triple H is going to return to TV. The question is, how do you bring him back? So I think what they're doing right now on Raw with Stephanie and Shane, you can continue that and have Trips run SmackDown. That's what I would do.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not missing them.
You know, honestly, I prefer, if I had to pick one, you know, I really prefer Triple H over Stephanie, to be honest with you.
Well, I would think, Teddy, if they're going to maybe put two of them together, you would think maybe Triple H and Stephanie maybe run Raw, and then you maybe move Shane over to SmackDown?
Well, you know, that's a possibility. You know, you just don't ever know what they're going to do because they don't know what they're going to do. Sometimes, you know, they make decisions overnight. You know, they'll give you one thing, and then the next morning you wake up, it's already changed. So it's just hard to say what they're going to do, man. Because, like I said, they don't even know. Some of this stuff happens right at the spur of the moment. So I don't know. I hope whatever they do, I hope they make the right decision, and I hope it works for them.
I don't necessarily know if that's really a good idea, though, of Triple H and Stephanie running Raw, because that's pretty much going back to the Authority storyline that we all got sick and tired of seeing. So I wouldn't do that. It's just really, because you hear the story, Steve, about there being the heat between Triple H and Shane. And if you notice, you haven't seen Triple H since WrestleMania on TV. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that Shane McMahon is back. I mean, Bret Hart said when he was at Payback that you never saw Triple H and Shane McMahon in the same room. They were completely separated. So I think to kind of appease Triple H, to put him in somewhat of the spotlight, you let him run SmackDown and let Stephanie and Shane just continue to run Raw. But who knows? I mean, you know, rumor has it that Shane McMahon is going to run SmackDown. So if Stephanie's running Raw, you might actually see the return of Triple H running Raw. And really, honestly, with me, it's depending on the talent. I mean, if they have a lot of guys that I actually care for over on SmackDown, then I would actually have no reason to watch Raw anymore.
I'll touch on this. You know, like Frank said, we haven't seen Triple H on TV in a while. You know, I could be wrong. I don't know. But, you know, I really believe that he may not even want to be a part of that running Raw or either SmackDown. I think he may be enjoying what he's doing, is working behind the scenes and running the company. You know, I don't know. I don't know whether he wants to get back in the ring or have any part of that TV life at all. So, we just don't know.
I would hope they would split up Shane and Stephanie, because I don't think they work very well together. There's just no chemistry. I mean, we've seen this feud before. It's not stimulating television. I would think, obviously, Stephanie probably runs Raw and you move Shane to SmackDown. It seems like that's the most logical decision to be made at this point.
Well, if it was logical, then it would have been made at Payback. That's where the decision should have been made in the first place. You know, not down the line here, but, I mean, like Teddy says here, they don't know what they're going to do themselves. You know, it's kind of like they booked this shit really on the fly. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm all for it, though. SmackDown moving live on Tuesday nights, July 19th. I might actually start watching SmackDown again if it's a pretty good roster. But the bottom line, though, and I say right there, if it's a pretty good roster, you cannot treat SmackDown like the bastard stepchild show. SmackDown has to be on equal with Raw. And I think there's been so much damage done to the SmackDown brand over the years, I don't know if they're going to necessarily be able to do that. It's going to take some time to build it back up. Even though, yeah, it's a live show, it's still SmackDown. And people have been, you know, no offense, Teddy, but people have been designed to think that SmackDown is not on the same level of Monday Night Raw.
Well, I mean, that's really no offense. I mean, that's pretty much the truth. It is not. You know what I mean? You know, you don't even really watch SmackDown. I don't watch it much. I look at some of it until I can't watch any more of it. But it's not on the same level as Raw. So they got a lot of work cut out for them, brother. They got to put a lot into that show to get the fans back.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be interesting to see what they do with the roster, if SmackDown will appear as an A show or will it be the B show. So what Steve Austin was talking, that, you know, you have to make sure SmackDown appears to be an equal brand. And if it's not, then it's going to be the same boat where, you know, it's an inferior brand. But let's speculate here. I know Frank and Atlee did a draft scenario, but I would think right off the bat, just looking at this roster, that Cena, Rollins, and Reigns have to be split up in some capacity. Obviously, we're seeing that AJ is going to feud with Cena, but I would think moving forward, Teddy, that between those three, maybe you move Cena over to SmackDown, or maybe you move Rollins over to SmackDown, but one of those big names right off the bat has to go to SmackDown.
Well, you know, let me tell you something. Raw is their baby. That's their show. So that's the show that the ratings mean more to them than anything. So, you know, I could see maybe Cena going to SmackDown, but I think it wouldn't be a good idea to send Seth. I think Seth needs to be right on that Monday night on that live TV. You know, I mean, that's what I would do. I would, you know, keep Seth, and then maybe somewhere down the line you could make Seth make some special appearances on SmackDown. But if I was going to send anybody, I would certainly send Cena and keep Seth right there on that live TV, because he's just come back. This thing he's doing now with Roman Reigns, I think it's going to be good. So why would you move it?
It seems like, Frank, that'd be the most logical move. And I know it's logical, right? WWE, they book on the fly. But you would think you got to put at least one big name from the current roster over to SmackDown. It seems like Cena would be the most obvious choice here.
Well, you know, Cena came up on the SmackDown brand, you know, when the whole Ruthless Aggression thing was going down and we saw the Doctor of Thugonomics. A lot of those good moments that we had with John Cena happened on SmackDown. So I'd love to see John Cena go back to SmackDown, go back to his roots. And really, if they want to build Raw and really want to let people know that Roman Reigns is the man, then you cannot have him on the same show with John Cena. John Cena goes over to SmackDown. You take AJ Styles over to SmackDown. You keep Roman and Seth over on Raw. Maybe you take a Dean Ambrose and you put him on SmackDown. So you really let people wait for that Shield reunion that they're going to, you know, inevitably do one day. That's the way you do the brand split.
And I also think that Chris Jericho would be a good guy for the SmackDown.
No, I agree. You know, I'm not really the biggest Chris Jericho fan, but his heel shake lately and the whole stupid idiot thing, I'm really digging it.
As far as the roster, you know, they kind of teased us last night on Raw would be maybe split up New Day. Anybody that's a group or a tag team, you know, you risk splitting them up. Do they need to split up the New Day? Do they need to split up some other groups, some of their tag teams? What do you think, Teddy? Did maybe fresh up the New Day, you split them up?
Well, I would. Like I've always said, I like Big E. I would take Big E and I would put him out there as a single competitor. I would certainly split them up. I mean, they're probably not going to do that, but that's what I would do.
Right now, New Day is WWE's like cash cow. They make a lot of money with New Day merchandise. So, you know, I kind of agree with Teddy that Big E could be a guy that could be a world heavyweight champion. But I think right now it's not going to happen. They have them in the position that they want them in. I mean, these guys were, they started off a show last night on Raw. So obviously, even though to me the act has grown stale, people out there still like the act. So they're going to continue to make Vince money. So why would Vince put up something that makes some money? I mean, I remember back in the first draft, back in the day, they drafted the NWO as a unit. So you got Hall, Nash, and X-Pac together. They also drafted Billy and Chuck with Rico. I don't see why they wouldn't do the same thing here.
You know, Teddy, I think, mentioned ratings, and I just wondered if this was a result of declining ratings. I know, you know, we've talked about it here on the podcast as well. This is a new era. We don't worry about ratings necessarily, but certainly still a business, and ratings still mean something in terms of business and selling ad spots. Do you think because SmackDown's ratings have been declined, I mean, they're not like 1.5, 1.6. I mean, those would be a big number for Impact back in the day. Do you think maybe because of the declining ratings, this was the reason to go to a live format now?
Yeah, I would have to say, I don't know whether them going live has anything to do with the ratings. I mean, I'm just saying, if you go live and you're still going to present the same product, that's not going to help the ratings. I think if, you know, by them going live, I think it's going to give the people something forward to look for. But like I said, I think they need to get some talent. That's the thing that concerned me, is who are they going to put on the SmackDown to make SmackDown be the show that it needs to be.
What do you think, Frank? Is it time to finally call up Samoa Joe then?
I think it's time now with what they're doing. Hell yeah, man. It's time to call up Samoa Joe to the main roster. It's time to call up Finn Balor. It's time to bring, you know, Bobby Roode. I mean, even though Bobby Roode hasn't debuted yet in NXT, here's a guy who's a seasoned veteran. He should go right to the main roster, whether it be Raw or SmackDown. So, I mean, here's the thing. They've made stars on the SmackDown brand. I mean, Edge, in my opinion, had his most success as a Radar Superstar on SmackDown, okay? So they've made stars. I mean, Batista, another guy who, you know, who was made during the brand split. Randy Orton was made during the brand split. They've produced stars. The question will be, though, is if WWE has learned from the mistakes of the previous brand split. If they have, that's all fine and dandy. And it's also being rumored, Steve, that there will be two World Heavyweight Champions. So you'll have one for Raw and you'll have one for SmackDown.
That was my next question. That was a good segue there, Frank, because we're having a hot debate currently at Gerwick.net with the brand extension returning. Do we need one champion or two champions? You know, Teddy, for me, I think you just need one champion. I mean, you're the WWE champion. Have the champion go from show to show. That could be fresh feuds on either side. To me, it's, you know, there's an American League, there's a National League. But at the end of the day, there's a World Series for one championship. Every sports league is like that, and I know comparing wrestling to a sports league is not necessarily a great comparison, but still, at the end of the day, everybody on the SmackDown side and the Raw side should want to be the WWE champion. To me, I think it just waters it down having two championships. So in my opinion, I'd like to stay with one champion.
Here's what I would do. I would have my own champion. I would have SmackDown, I think, should have their own champion, and Raw should have their own champion. And the reason why I say that, because if you got one champion there, Steve, that's a lot of work on one guy, having to defend that title on Raw and then having to go to SmackDown and defend it too. And then, not only that, he's going to have to work on a lot of the Raw shows and as well as the SmackDown shows, so, which I think is going to be overkill. We're going to see too much of him, of the same guy. So if it was me, I'd have my own champion. SmackDown needs their own champion, and Raw has their own champion. And that way, we're looking at something different and not the same thing.
You know, I tend to agree with Teddy on this one because, you know, you have the WWE World Heavyweight Champion on both shows, and really that kind of takes away from the whole point of having, you know, brand exclusive pay-per-views. One title on one show, the other title on the other show. But here's the thing. The championship on SmackDown cannot look like a minor league championship. I mean, a lot of people will say that the big gold belt was not on par with the WWE championship. And that's why I say when, you know, we had the talk last week about Cody Rhodes, I would say, yeah, Cody Rhodes would have been a fine world champion, but he would never have been WWE champion. And that's exactly what I meant, because the world championship belt was never on the same level as that title. The new championship belt has to be equal footing with the WWE championship. That's where you'll know for a fact that, hey, this guy over here on SmackDown, he's just as equal as Roman Reigns over here on Raw. And when they do that, sky's the limit. But it's all about consumer confidence. And you got to build consumer confidence back into SmackDown. And just because the show is going live doesn't mean that all these people all of a sudden are going to watch SmackDown again. It's going to take time. But, you know, they're obviously in it for the long haul. Just like with the WWE Network, they're in this for the long haul. Vince McMahon reportedly is pumped up about this brand split. And I think that they have the talent that they can pull it off.
I think they will go to two championships. I just, my own personal opinion is one championship should be, I mean, there's only one WWE champion. And I know you have two separate brands, but you only have one WWE champion. So then you run into the same thing here. Are we going to go back to what used to be where the Intercontinental Championship is on one show? You have the U.S. Championship on one show. And then obviously, what do you do with the Tag Team Championship? Are they on one show? You can have two SmackDown, you can have a SmackDown Tag Team Champion and a Raw Tag Team Champion. And then, of course, the other question is, what do you do with the Women's Championship?
Well, the Women's Championship, what's being rumored about the Women's Division as a whole, was that it would be exclusive to one show, is what they're talking about doing. Now, as far as the Tag Team Championships go, rumor has it those belts would float between both brands, which I don't like that at all. I think that if you're going to have the tag champions on Raw, then you need the tag champions on SmackDown. Everything needs to be separate. I mean, they're talking about they're having their own writing team for Raw, their own writing team for SmackDown. So the title should fall in line. Obviously, when you take the U.S. championship should be on SmackDown. The Intercontinental belt should be on Raw. But these secondary championships should be treated as such. They should be your stepping stone to the world titles. So if I'm the U.S. champion, then that should give me a title shot and make me the number one contender against the world champion of SmackDown, and vice versa with Raw, with the IC belt and the WWE championship. That's how I would do it, if you want to do it old school, kind of like that. But I don't think they're going to go in that direction.
Well, I mean, if you're going to do the tag champions on both shows, I just do the world champion on both shows.
I mean, you could, but once again, brand exclusive. Why?
I mean, kicking it old school, I mean, that reminds me of like Ric Flair back in the day when he was the NWA champion. He'd go to all these different territories that were NWA. He'd go to Japan, represent the NWA championship. I understand what, you know, Teddy's saying, the extra schedule. That'd be a lot of work on the WWE champion, but I just think you water down a championship by having two world champions. There's only one WWE champion. There's not two NFL champions. There's not two NBA champions, so...
Well, let me touch on that, Steve, and, you know, like what you just said, you know, like back in the day when Ric Flair went to all the territories and defended the title, that's what Vince is getting away from. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want it to look like that. He don't want that anymore. I mean, when I was there, you know, he always said he was getting away from old school. It was like a lot of things that the referee does now. You know, back in the day when you balled up the fist, you know, you would get the wrestler balled the fist up, you would get a warning from the referee. Now you don't do that anymore. You don't have that rule anymore. So I think that's what it's all about, is Vince getting away from what they used to do or what's back in the day. So, you got to just come into the new era with it, and I think that's what's going on.
And I don't even think, really, and myself and Abby Green were talking about this on the Raw deal, I don't really think that they're even going to bring back the big gold belt. If they're really, you know, as Abby said, if they really want to make this a new era, if they really want to show that this is different, they're not going to bring back big gold. So I think they're going to design a new championship. I mean, some people have suggested, you know, a belt similar to the WWE championship they have now. Just make it blue to signify that that's the champion for SmackDown, and have one, you know, red signify the champion of Raw. But I don't.
And look, and think about this too. You get that brand new blue belt for SmackDown. You tell me how many people ain't gonna buy that?
Exactly. That's what, you know, we're talking about. You know, and they sell a lot of replicas. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the Big Gold belt. I'm a huge fan of that belt. I have that belt. I'm looking at it right now as we do this show. So I'm a big fan of that, but I don't really think that they're going to go in that direction of bringing that belt back. I think that belt, when they retired it, when they unified it with the WWE Championship a couple years ago, I think that that's pretty much what it is.
And you can let us know out there what you think. As I said, it's hotly contested right now at Gerwick.net as we do this podcast, like 50-50, one champion or two champion. Let us know what you think, and continue voting at Gerwick.net. And I think this is a good place to take a little break. We'll be back on the Gerwick Report podcast with more right after this.
If you want to truly style and profile and tell it like it is, you got to be wearing the official t-shirt. Head over right now to ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. That is the official merchandise store of Gerwick.net. 8 great designs, $17.99. Plus shipping and handling will get you one of our shirts. Check them out today, ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. They ship internationally, domestically, PayPal, debit, credit, you name it, they got it. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. And for the latest in pro wrestling news, keep it locked to Gerwick.net, your number one source on the World Wide Web for the latest in pro wrestling news since 1997.
For all of your pro wrestling news, check out Gerwick.net, your number one source for wrestling news since 1997.
Check out YouTube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast today. Subscribe to our channel, like our videos, leave your comments. We definitely appreciate your support.
Frank D. and Theodore R. Long.
Somebody's been very outspoken here lately is Billy Gunn. We had just had this debate with China. Should we go in the Hall of Fame? Should she not? We know what happened with Billy Gunn's wife put out a tweet, and then she had ended up deleting it. But Billy Gunn was recently asked about her credentials for the WWE Hall of Fame, and should she be in the Hall of Fame? And this is what he had to say.
I do think that she belongs in there. If anybody belongs in there, she does. I mean, come on. There's no girl that's ever or will ever be like her. I don't give a shit who they are. They'll never be like her. And if you want people that have made an impression on this business or have done something in this business that you want to recognize, no matter what, we all have stuff in our personal lives that we wish, wow, I wish that wouldn't have got out there, or we do things. But for me, that's what makes us people. That's what makes me me. That's what makes you you. We're all not perfect. That's just how it goes. Does that, what she did and what happened, does that keep her from going in the Hall of Fame? Nope.
So, Frank, I think he's really echoing what a lot of wrestling fans think. She should be in the Hall of Fame. She's a unique woman. There's never going to be another a female performer like Chyna. She was the first Intercontinental Champion, competed in the Royal Rumble, King of the Ring, etc. And as he said there, it doesn't really matter what your demons are or some of the other politics of wrestling. At the end of the day, she should be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, she should be in the Hall of Fame, Steve, but it's up to WWE if she gets in there. I mean, I saw this morning on Facebook a petition going around for them to induct Davey Boy Smith into the Hall of Fame. And I'm kind of thinking to myself, do you really think WWE is going to pay attention to a petition? That's not the way it works. They're going to put Davey Boy in if they want to put him in, just like they'll put in Chyna if they want to put her in. I mean, Stephanie McMahon says one day, she don't know when, but one day Chyna will get in. So you have to take it, you know, for face value. That's what they're saying is going to happen one day, and it probably will. But as I've said it before here on GRP, she'll go into the Hall of Fame as a member of DX. That's how it goes.
Well, I agree with you, Frank. I certainly hope so, you know. And I can't see him not putting in the Hall of Fame. I can't see him not doing that. But like I said, I hope that does happen for him.
You know, it's obvious, too, from that sound clip there, Billy Gunn is not sugarcoating things. He's not kissing ass. So I don't know, Teddy. Doesn't seem like he's lobbying to get back with the company anytime soon.
If he's a smart man, you know, he shouldn't want to get back with the company. I mean, he's had his run now. He's had his good days and he's had his bad days. So, you know, I think he knows what time it is. I don't think he wants to go back, and they probably won't even take him back. So, you know, anytime you have to watch what people say. You know, a lot of guys start talking and saying things, that will not get them back into WWE. Then that means they don't want to go back, and they know that they're not going back.
Yeah, you got to play the game.
It's all about the game, and how you play it.
Or there is no game. That's what it seems
like. Exactly.
Today.
Exactly.
Right? He runs the show, and you play his game, or there is no game in town.
Well, he's the only one right now.
I want to mention Rob Van Dam's 17-year marriage coming to an end. Sonya and Rob Van Dam are splitting up. I think, what was it, TMZ that broke this story. And as Frank actually noted on our Facebook discussion group, in the article it says that she wants RVD to pay her lawyer fees, even though they're basically breaking up on good terms. Now, I want to say this about Rob. Rob's always been super with us. I remember him doing an interview for us back in the hotline days. He's done a couple interviews with us at Gerwick.net. One of the first ECW shows I went to, the old ECW, the Paul Heyman ECW show, I'm at this show, and I'm talking to a colleague, and RVD comes up to me and says, "I don't know you, but I just want to introduce myself. I'm Rob Van Dam. I just want to say hi." And I was like, wow, that was really cool. You know, he went out of his ways to I knew who he was, obviously. But he still wanted to introduce himself. And I believe I've also met his wife as well. A sad situation, but like Frank has noted here, Frank, why should he have to pay her lawyer fees?
Well, it's just a bunch of bullshit, Steve, is what it is. You know, she's filing for divorce from him. So why does he have to pay her legal fees? It's kind of like the same situation going on right now with Johnny Depp and his wife. You know, she's filing for divorce, citing some domestic violence claims or whatever, but she asked the judge for $50,000 a month in spousal support. That's some gold digger shit right there to me. So, I don't know, man. It's kind of the same thing with Hulk Hogan. When Hulk Hogan, you know, went through his divorce and Linda took every damn thing he had. It's a bunch of bullshit, man. I don't agree with it. They need to change the laws and stop, you know, railroading against the male just because she had a certain lifestyle there. She can go out there and get a damn job. What's the problem?
I'm sure you probably have met Sonya back in the day, didn't you, Teddy, RVD's wife?
Oh, yeah. I was real good friends with Rob. Real good friends with him. And, yeah, I met his wife. You know, it was kind of surprising to me, and it, you know, because, I mean, she was, you know, real nice. I mean, real nice woman. I mean, great girl. And they had such a great marriage. I mean, I had a chance to ride with them a couple of times. I went when I was out in L.A., I had a chance to go visit them. And they seem to, you know, be so happy and get along so well. So, you know, that really surprised me. But, you know, you just never know what's going on in a man's household.
Yeah, 17 years is a long time. So I want to wish, you know, both of them the best in the future endeavors there with that, split up. I'm sure you can attest to this, Teddy. You know, 17 years, it's tough because you're on the road all the time. RVD, of course, is been with ECW, WWE, WWF back in the day, still works independently, does a lot of things outside of wrestling. That's very tough on a relationship. So to say that they lasted 17 years, I guess would still be an accomplishment.
Well, you know, with their relationship, you know, not every show, not every place that Rob went, but she almost, traveled with him quite a bit on the road. So, you know, they had, a lot of chance to be together a lot more than people may have thought. But, if you got the right woman, you know what I mean? I don't care if you're on the road 10 years of your life. If you're with the right woman and, you know, y'all a team and she wants to be with you, then she's going to be there. And I'm not blowing my own horn, but I'm 28 years in my marriage, and that's because I got the right woman. You know, I always came home, all my furniture was still in the house. I never did come home, my house cleaned out, like I've heard about that happening to some wrestlers. If my wife's having an affair, I don't know anything about it, but after 28 years, you know, if your wife's having an affair, you're going to find out about it. It may take a while, but you're going to find out because there's going to be a change in her. You're going to start seeing changes in her behavior and start seeing changes in her going and coming. So you got to know to look for these things. But if you got a woman that has that same attitude, same behavior, you know where she is and you ain't got to worry about it, that's just great. And I thought that with robbing him, you know, no, there was no nothing like that going on. So you just don't know, you know, really what happened there.
Yeah, sad situation. I remember going to some ECW shows back in the day, and she was there. And I want to say I met Rob Van Dam's parents, or maybe it was her parents. I can't remember, but they seem, you know, very personable people. And as I said, RVD's been great to this show and to the website. So I hope he rebounds quickly, and I'm sure he will. I mean, RVD is very resilient, so he'll be back on his feet before you know it.
Yeah, but at the same time, I get all that. But at the same time, why does he have to pay her attorney fees? I don't get that.
I don't know.
That's the part right there I'm not understanding. That to me is bullshit.
Didn't the article say she's asking for that, right?
I guess so. I mean, just like Amber Heard is asking for $50,000 a month from, you know, Johnny Depp. So, I don't know. It's L.A. County, man. So the damn judge might agree and actually grant them what they want. So, because they don't really, when it comes to a situation like this, and I've seen it with friends of mine that have been involved in shit like this, it don't usually work out for the men.
I want to mention, you know, we haven't really done much with TNA news, but, you know, TNA has announced for their upcoming pay-per-view, June 12th, Slammiversary from Orlando. It's going to be Bobby Lashley versus Drew Galloway for the TNA Heavyweight Championship, and also a Full Metal Mayhem match between Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy. Can this draw, Teddy, on pay-per-view?
Well, I guess anything can draw, but just how much will it draw? That's the question. The Bobby Lashley Drew Galloway feud, I kind of like that, but I mean, you know, it's kind of old news too. And to put Matt and Jeff, you know, with the family feud, I just don't see that really going anywhere. You know, they've done that so much. You know, I don't know. Like I said, anything will draw, but how much will it draw?
Well, I guess, Frank, this is the best they can promote. I mean, they have definitely lost a lot of the bigger names. Obviously, Samoa Joe is gone, AJ Styles is gone, Bobby Roode is gone, Eric Young is gone, so I guess this is pretty much the best they can do under the circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'm not going to knock it, but I'm not going to order it. But somebody,
you're not going to watch it.
I'm not going to watch it, but somebody out there will watch it. Somebody out there will order it. You know, this is where the hardcore TNA fans, the loyal TNA fans that they have, will go out there and they'll support the show. And that's what it's going to be, you know, and that's why I wish that we could actually see the buy rates for the TNA shows, because you have all these people out there that say that they're fans of the product, they're fans of TNA. I would like to see how much money TNA is making off of these, quote unquote, loyal fans out there. That's what I like to see. But, you know, actually, Steve, I'm going to watch Impact this week, right? I'm actually going to watch Impact. And
really?
I will. Yeah, I am. I'm gonna watch Impact, and on the next edition of GRP, I'm gonna tell you exactly what I thought of the show, and let you know if I think that TNA could actually draw people to order Slammiversary or not.
Now wait a minute. The last time we had this conversation, you remember, Teddy said if I would go to TNA, and you said you still wouldn't watch it.
Here's the thing. I'm gonna watch it because I want to see what they're doing with the product now. I want to see what the, you know, what's the big angles that got going on here, because they're having a pay-per-view. They're going to have a show. They're going to have a pay-per-view, and I want to see exactly what is it about this Slammiversary that can actually make people want to buy it. And I'll tell you exactly what I feel about TNA, you know, on the next edition of GRP. It's going to be uncensored and uncut, and I'm going to tell you exactly what I think of TNA, and we shall truly know if they're the dead brand or not, because they're producing a pay-per-view. Obviously, they got some life left in them, right?
I don't know if you guys have noticed, but Matt Hardy has a totally different look these days.
I saw that. So that's what I'm saying. I'm kind of intrigued. I'm not the biggest Matt Hardy fan, but I'm somewhat intrigued by what's going on here. So I'm actually going to watch TNA. You know, I'll sit through that. But if I could, you know, sit through, you know, Monday Night Raw and DVR and fast-forwarding through it, I can do the same thing for Impact. And I happen to have Pop TV, so there's no excuse for me not to at least check it out. So I will do that.
Well, I tend to agree, Teddy. You know, I watched the condensed versions of Raw because I don't have cable, and it was like watching paint dry. And I know, you know, it was Memorial Day, the Game 7 of the NBA playoffs, and they probably expected to be a low number, but that Raw last night, yawn city.
Yeah, I looked at some of it. I watched the beginning, the opening segment, but then it got, you know, so long until, you know, I just kind of started flipping back and forth. But you're kind of right. I didn't get much energy out of it last night either. You know what I mean? Some stuff was good, but some stuff was bad. So I don't know. I think they're just doing, you know, whatever they got to do. That's all I can really say about it.
So what do you think, Frank? Are they still burying AJ Styles?
Hey, man, look, you know what? You know something? Everybody was buried on that show last night.
Really?
Yeah, Baron Corbin, buried. New Day being attacked by Gallows and Anderson. They were buried, Steve. Chris Jericho, Kevin Owens, and Alberto Del Rio lost last night. They were buried. Yeah, that's what's going on. They're buried. Hell yeah. AJ Styles, let me tell you right now. John Cena is back, and John Cena has the shovel ready for Styles. Styles will be buried.
Well, I guess that was the headline. John Cena finally returned, and now we know what they're going to do with Cena. You know, we speculated maybe, you know, Rusev U.S. Championship, but now you put him in the program with AJ Styles. So I would think, Teddy, at this point, when we've talked about, you know, AJ has lost the last three pay-per-views, you got to put him over Cena. I mean, Cena doesn't really benefit by beating AJ Styles, but will Vince McMahon allow his creation, Cena, to lose to AJ Styles?
Well, I think you would have to. I mean, it's the right thing to do. I mean, you know, to me, AJ Styles going over on Cena, I mean, it really is not going to help him a whole lot because Cena is not the babyface that he used to be. So, I mean, if you're going to do the right thing, you got to put AJ Styles over. I mean, that's what the people would want. I'm sure they would want that.
I guess we'll see. I don't know, Frank. I don't agree with the internet wrestling community saying AJ is being buried, but I do think at some point on one of these pay-per-views, he's got to beat a big name. As I said, the last three pay-per-views he's lost, and I still maybe question why he would lose to Chris Jericho at WrestleMania. But I would think here he has to go over Cena on the next pay-per-view.
I'm going to tell you exactly what is the reason why AJ Styles is being buried, Steve. AJ is being buried because AJ is a TNA guy. And Vince McMahon, he hates TNA. So he's burying him. And AJ hasn't lost a match. AJ's losing all his matches because Vince is burying him for everything he did down there at TNA. That's what it is, Steve.
So he's going to lose that money in the bank?
He's going to lose that money in the bank to John Cena, and the burial will continue. AJ Styles will be regretting the day that he joined the WWE. He's already, right now, he's making plans to go back to New Japan. He says, the hell with this shit. The hell with the money. The hell with the fact that everybody is buying my merchandise. The hell with all of it. I care about winning, damn it.
They're going to job him out.
They're jobbing him out, and that money in the bank, they're jobbing him out. He will not beat John Cena. The burial of AJ Styles will continue. Why? Because us in the IWC say so.
Well, Frank, why don't you tell us how you really feel?
I'm speaking for everybody out there right now. You see, hey, you know something? The old Frank D came up here last week and said that AJ Styles wasn't getting buried. But damn it. After reading what all the people on the internet are saying, the experts out there, damn it, he's being buried. And it all has to do with TNA. That's what it is.
It also has to do with some idiot has found out what the word burying means in professional wrestling, and they've gone wild with it.
You know something? I'm going to tell you right now, Mr. Long. The guy is being buried. AJ right now, AJ has been in WWE since January. The guy should have been champion by now. He should have been a WWE champion. Why he's not a champion is simple. Because Vince McMahon doesn't like him. Vince McMahon is holding everything he did, you know, he's holding all against him from TNA. And the same thing's going to happen when Samoa Joe comes up. Samoa Joe is not going to be nothing. Why? Because we got John Cena over there, and John Cena is going to bury him. He's going to bury him. He's got his shovel out already. He's going to bury him. When Finn Balor comes up, Vince is going to say, oh, you created that Bullet Club thing. Buried. Watch.
Austin Aries, Eric Young.
Buried.
Bobby Roode.
Wow.
Buried.
And you know, I don't know what Frank, I don't know whether you remember this or something, but you know, there was a while back when AJ was in TNA, I mean, when they were doing, you know, pretty good, you know, there was a statement, I think, that came from him that he would never work in the WWE.
You're damn right. And they're playing that statement at every creative meeting. Buried.
Okay. Exactly.
Then again, what was it, Billy Gunn and Road Dogg did a shoot interview on Trips, and they came back. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
They came back. And they were buried. Well, no, they held the championships. Doesn't matter, though. They were buried.
Buried.
They were buried. Come on. Hey, where the hell? I mean, can we push Kane now? I mean, can we do that? You know, I mean, my gosh, can we push Kane? Can we push the Big Show? Let's push the Big Show towards the World Heavyweight Championship. Forget that Seth Rollins. He's buried. You saw last night on Raw, the guy was running from Roman Reigns. He's buried.
Oh, God, I love it.
You know, speaking of Kane, I don't know if you saw this, Teddy. There was a report that Kane is actually considering running for mayor of Knox County in Tennessee under the Republican banner. What would you think of Glenn Jacobs turning away from the ring and going into politics?
Well, yeah, I did see that. Well, I don't know, man. I tell you, you know, he's a real nice guy, man. I enjoyed working with him. Me and him went to the gym a lot of mornings, and he was a guy that would always call me to make sure I had a ride to the gym. So he's a real nice guy. He's got a great attitude, you know. I think he would be a good politician.
Would people vote for the big red machine in Knox County, Tennessee?
Hell.
Well, they know him, you know, they all know him
true.
There, you know, it's not a real big town, but they all know him there, you know, and he's an advocate there, you know, so who knows, I think he would probably win.
You know what, I don't know, I mean, the guy's been buried the past, you know, couple years, so I don't necessarily know if people are going to want to bury, you know, people are going to want to vote for that loser, because he's been buried on TV. I mean, for a while there, you know, he was the authority's bitch, so he was buried.
Well, didn't work for Jerry Lawler. He was being buried because he's working with Jim Ross, who's always buried.
Well, he's buried, just like, you know, next week in Oklahoma. They're going to be in Oklahoma next week for Monday Night Raw. So who knows? They're going to probably bring Jim Ross out there and bury him. Bury him and bury his podcast right there. Bury him.
You know, real quickly, speaking of the audience, what was up with that audience last night at Raw?
I don't know. They were out to bury everybody.
I guess.
Those
then again,
just
I guess. A very underwhelming show.
It was, you know, honestly, though, you know, it, in all seriousness, it was a throwaway show because you had so much, you know, other things going on. And on top of that, it was Memorial Day. So, I don't know. If it was me, I would put my, you know, best foot forward during the show to show people, hey, you know something, just because it is Memorial Day, just because we have other sports going on, that wrestling is still important, is what I would do. I mean, if this had been the Monday Night Wars, it would have been a very competitive show last night. But the people just weren't into it. The highlight of the episode for me, though, was the AJ Styles heel turn and him working with John Cena. Let's see what happens with that. Let's truly see. If, I'm going to tell you right now, if John Cena beats Styles, if they have a match of Money in the Bank and he beats AJ Styles, then I would be concerned to say that, yeah, something's going on here as far as him being buried. But I haven't, you know, I'm not saying that yet. I'm saying that, you know, and I even said last week that, you know, AJ Styles proved that he can roll with the big boys, and people are like, oh, yeah, sure. What the hell are you talking about? You know, he's a New Japan, you know, champion. It doesn't matter. Whatever he did before he came there, it doesn't matter. I was basically saying that he proved himself to be able to hang in the main event on a WWE show, is what I was saying. So, nonetheless, if he doesn't beat John Cena, then yes, he's buried.
Really? You're going to go that far?
I'm going to go that far and say that if he doesn't beat Cena, if they had the first match of Money in the Bank, he doesn't win. But I'll say, yeah, you lost at WrestleMania, you lost at Payback, you lost at Money, you lost at, yeah, you lost at Extreme Rules, and you lose that Money in the Bank. Yeah, something's going on. You're buried. Yeah, I'll concede in saying that. Okay, I'll concede in join everybody else to say that this guy is buried, or because Baron Corbin last night was kicked in the nuts, he's buried. Yeah, I'll go that far and say that. Absolutely.
So stay tuned to see what happens at Money in the Bank on June 19th. And what is the real quickly? What is the July pay per view this year?
I'm assuming it's going to be Battleground.
Battleground. Okay.
Maybe I don't know for sure. I don't know. Let me find out. Let me talk to the creative team and see what they come up with, and I'll get back to you.
Well, obviously in July is when they're going to be splitting up the roster. So I don't know. Anything's fair game at this point.
Yeah, you know what? You know, we might actually start doing here on the GRP is Frank D's burial list. Every week I'll come up here and just talk about everybody who's been buried because they lost on Raw. So we'll do that. And next week, if Anderson and Gallows lose the match, they're buried. If Dolph Ziggler comes out and he beats Baron Corbin, you know, Baron Corbin was buried. Watch.
Well, you know, one thing they could do is split up Gallows and Anderson.
Why the hell would you do that?
Because they're burying them.
Yeah, well.
Well, that would really be a bury there if they'd done something like that. Those two guys are great. I mean, man, what do you think? You can't do that.
I was just watching him the other night as Festus, and I'm like, my God, has this dude come a long ways? So
I tell you something else too, Frank. I tell you another thing too. I thought about what you were saying about Enzo and Cass. I saw that last night. I loved them to death, but there was something missing there last night. I kind of saw what you meant, that you know, Vince splitting those guys up. I just felt that last night because sometimes, you know, you can look at the guys by me being there and being in the back, and you can look at the guys and tell, you know, if there's something that they've been told that they don't like or if they just don't agree with, because it shows in the expression on their face. They're out there, but they don't want to be out there.
Oh, yeah. I think the worst thing that could happen was Enzo being injured and giving Cass that couple weeks as a run on his own. Yeah, Vince McMahon was just, you know, oozing all over himself at the size of Big Cass. So,
yeah, well, he's high on big guys. That's his deal.
Yeah, he loves them big boys. So that's the deal there. So they're going to split them up eventually, and Enzo will be buried.
Who did Brock Lesnar face last night?
Brock Lesnar didn't face anybody, but if he had to face someone, they would have been buried too. Matter of fact, Brock wasn't even on the show last night. But whenever Brock comes back, whoever he wrestles, they will be buried.
And that's why he was not on the show last night. They were burying him at home.
No, matter of fact, Goldberg buried Brock Lesnar because they played the video last night. You know, everybody was up in arms last night. They were pissed off because WWE had been teasing this hatch reveal, and people thought, well, it's going to be Sister Abigail or some shit. And it happened to be Goldberg. It happened to be a promotional spot for the WWE 2K17 video game, which, by the way, will be available this fall and will feature two versions of Bill Goldberg in two classic WCW arenas. So there it goes right there. But Goldberg buried Brock Lesnar last night by looking at a sign that says Suplex City. So there you go. The burial continues in WWE.
You know, it'll be interesting to see when they do this draft lottery. Is Triple H in the draft lottery? Because he's actually a talent. Undertaker, Lesnar, of course, is basically whenever they need him. And Kane, are these guys going to be in the draft lottery?
I don't know, but all I know is one thing. Whoever they wrestle, they're going to bury him. So there you go.
I love it. This is great.
Well, that's all the shit that I read on the internet all day is all these people are being buried. You know, we're the experts. We're out there in the ring, so we know what we're talking about. They're being buried, Teddy. I mean, the hell with you? I mean, what the hell do you know? You were in the company for 15 years, but I know they're being buried.
Right. And they'll tell me. And by the way, Teddy, you know, you were buried.
Yeah. Well. Now, which part were you buried? The part where you got the paycheck and cashier or what?
Yeah, I have no idea what they're talking about. Yeah, nah. That paycheck didn't get buried. It got cashed.
Right.
Are these still the same fans that are mad at the TNA talent for leaving? I mean, is this the same brain capacity here?
Well, I don't know. I don't know, Steve. I mean, but you know what? Here's the bottom line, man. At the end of the day, seriously, there's all the talents right now. When you look at WWE as a whole, everybody not named McMahon is being buried.
And Rollins.
Rollins was buried last night.
Well, actually, I should say everybody but Reigns. He is the champion.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know,
and
man.
He's probably not going to lose for a while.
No, I mean, Seth Rollins is buried. He will be fed to Roman Reigns.
Yeah, probably.
That's pretty much what's happening here. Just like last night, John Cena with AJ Styles. Dude, Cena was freaking buried. I mean, come on. John Cena was buried.
All right, we're giving a new definition to burying in this business.
Yeah, burial.
Like I said in the last podcast, I think of like Terry Taylor, Red Rooster, buried.
Well, shit. Zach, you know what I call a burial? I call Zack Ryder winning the Intercontinental Championship and losing it 24 hours after he won it. That's a burial. And now he's back to working superstars or maybe a match on Raw here or there. That's a burial.
No, I saw him last night.
Right. That's why I said working a match, a Raw match here and there. Yeah.
And he got buried against Rusev.
Buried.
Buried. Yeah. real quickly, let's do a couple poll results. Would you like to see a women's Money in the Bank match? This has been rumored. Sometimes they do two separate Money in the Bank matches. Teddy Long, would you like to see the women compete in a Money in the Bank ladder match?
Well, yes, I would like to see that, but I would also like to see the women that are going to compete in that Money in the Bank match to see if they qualify to be in a match like that. You know what I mean? You know, you got to climb that ladder and do a lot of, you know, a lot of high spots and a lot of, you know, wild stuff. So, you know, you got to be the right girl to take that kind of punishment. So, yeah, I'd like to see it, but I also like to see the competitive.
What do you think, Frank? Is it time to do a women's Money in the Bank match?
I think that it would work, yes. And like Teddy just said, as long as these female competitors can actually go out there and pull that match off, I'm all for it. But I'm just afraid that whoever they have in the match, Steve, they're going to be eventually buried. So, I don't know.
So it doesn't matter who wins.
Doesn't matter who wins. They're buried.
So what would it be if they win the Money in the Bank ladder match as a woman, they get a title shot against Charlotte then? Is that the way it would work?
That's right. And then Charlotte will bury them.
Okay. Just so we establish that.
Exactly. We've established the burial today. The definition of burial.
Well, speaking of another guy who got buried, he is the subject of the next poll result. Should WWE have given Cody Rhodes a run as WWE champion? We talked about this last show. 61% said yes. 39% said no. And I know a lot of people thought, you know, Cody Rhodes would maybe have worked as a brand extension type champion. But, Teddy, do you think he could have pulled it off as the WWE champion?
Well, anybody can pull it off as a WWE champion. It's the way that they use you if they're going to do the right thing with you. You know what I mean? I mean, well, I won't say anybody. You know what I mean? You got to also have it, too. You know, and I think Cody Rhodes had it in him. He knew that. He could handle that, and he could carry that title. But it also depends on how they use you and how they put you out there. That's the bottom line.
I guess the bottom line is, would fans pay to see Cody Rhodes as the world champion? Is he going to sell merchandise? Are people going to order the pay-per-views? I guess today, Frank, it'd be the $9.99 on the network. Do you think he would have drawn as World Heavyweight Champion?
I don't know, because here's the thing. Once again, like I said, you know, on the last podcast, I think Cody would have been a fine, big gold-wearing World Heavyweight Champion. I just don't see him as a WWE champion. I don't see him as that type of a draw. And now everybody is all of a sudden a Cody Rhodes fan since the guy, you know, asked for his release. Everybody's name mama is a Cody Rhodes fan now. Okay, so I'm gonna like this. I was a Cody Rhodes fan. I wasn't a fan of Stardust, but how many people out there supported Stardust? How many people out there bought the Stardust replica gloves? How many people out there were bringing Stardust signs to the arena? I mean, all of a sudden now you're a fan, though. You see what I'm saying? But I don't know, Steve. If the guy would have been world champion, he would have been buried. So there you go.
That's probably true. Real quickly, we've got some comments here. Dana Brooke, going back to Dana Brooke from the last episode, you know, why was she brought up? A lot of reaction to that dialogue we had last week. Euroheat says, yeah, bringing her up made no sense. Bailey is wasting away at NXT. Dana is just too green. Dartell says, awkward pairing with her and Charlotte. no chemistry at all. The Wrestling Studio 11 says China is Attitude Era, Jazz, Ruthless Aggression Era, Beth Phoenix, the Universe Era, and Dana Brooke, the New Era. So, you know, Frank, we've said it in the last podcast, a very strange time to bring her up.
She is basically being brought up right now, and I hear that Vince McMahon is kind of souring on Sasha Banks. He's about ready to bury her and put Dana Brooke in her position. I expect Dana Brooke to be pushed as a babyface sooner rather than later, and the reason why she has so much support is because she needs it for those humongous tits that she has on her chest, and that's the reason why she was brought up to the main roster to begin with. And you heard it here first on the GRP from Frank D. And by the way, you can subscribe to the WWE Network for just $9.99.
You're going to sell some more subscriptions here.
I sold one for Teddy. I'm working on you next, Steve.
I don't know whether we're going to make much progress with Steve. We're going to have to, you know, our work is cut out for us with him.
I know. You know, Steve, you're so stubborn when it comes to things like this.
I guess.
Yeah, you're so stubborn, man. Come on, let's order the network and let's watch some burials.
Well, you were talking offline that you were watching some of Teddy's stuff as the White Boy Challenge. That kind of piqued my interest.
Dude, I'm telling you, I binge watched that shit on the weekend. It was fabulous. It was great. You gotta watch this stuff. It was just hearing Teddy on commentary and doing the saying out there. It was great. And watching Rodney Mack go out there and bury some people, that was even better.
Well, I'm sure I'll be back for Money in the Bank. So we'll see how it goes after that.
Oh, you'll be back for Money in the Bank and the burial.
And then the July pay-per-view, I don't know what they're doing. So if it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be the Elimination Chamber this year. So
well, you better watch out, man, because I'm telling you, they're going to bury Seth Rollins in that main event.
Yep, probably so.
Yeah, so watch it.
We also had Victor say they brought up Dana Brooke, but not Bayley or Carmella. And Riley said they just called her up too soon, which I think is the bottom line. She needed some more seasoning down at NXT. On the subject of Byron Saxton, you know, we hit last week we ran the poll at Gerwick.net. Should he be removed? And Mr. Hellface, I love that name. Mr. Hellface says, if Byron Saxton was white, would he be on television?
He's black?
I think he is.
Look, let me put it like this. When I hear Byron Saxton on commentary, it reminds me of, you know, Carlton Banks from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or some shit. that's pretty much what I get from it. You know what I'm saying? That's what I when I see Saxton or I hear his voice, I can't decipher which one is it. Is it Michael Cole talking or Byron Saxton talking? Read between the lines of what I'm saying, people.
Well, I'll tell you what you're saying. Byron Saxton is white. He's just in blackface.
Oh shit! He was buried.
Well, I don't know. He's on Raw.
He just buried him. Oh man, Teddy, you just buried Byron Saxton.
Maybe you need some Tom Jones music like Carlton out there.
Yeah, or some Barry Manilow like the coach.
We had Brandon Massey says Saxton is the real pet project of WWE. Vince just wants to get him over so badly. Antonio Williams says Saxton is corny as hell. He makes it completely obvious that he kisses JBL and Michael Cole's ass. And we also have NWO Wolfpack TV 2016. He adds nothing and nothing in all capital letters. And, you know, I watched the show last night, Frank, and he added nothing.
Well, you know something? NWO Wolfpack TV 2016. Hey, man, I love your videos on YouTube. I'm a subscriber. Good shit.
I got a couple questions here. Our friend Bruce knew that Teddy was going to be on the show, so he's got a question for Teddy. He's got a question for Teddy. While on the road for WWE, what were your favorite hotels and some of your favorite places to eat?
Oh, well, you know, I didn't have any favorite hotels. I had a deal with the Marriott, so I basically stayed in Marriott's most of all the places that I went. So Marriott and Hilton, but the Marriott was one of my favorite hotels. I didn't do a whole lot of eating on the road, so I ate at different places. I mean, one time I tell you I did like was one of the... what did they call it? Ground Round. There was some restaurant that was Ground Rounds.
Yep, I remember
those. And there was Circle 9 or something like that, if you can remember them. They had them in Boston or something. They were nice restaurants, but I never did eat out a whole lot, so I didn't have any favorite ones.
I want to ask Teddy a question myself here. We talked about Cody Rhodes a lot on the last edition of the podcast, which you can check out at Gerwick.net. And it reminded me after we did the podcast was obviously Cody came up and was tagging with Ted DiBiase Jr., of course, both the sons of legendary wrestlers, Million Dollar Man's son. What happened with Ted DiBiase Jr.? Just seemed like he didn't really click. You know, some people thought maybe he gave up a little too early. Just from your perspective, what happened with him?
Well, I had a chance to talk with him. He was another super nice guy. I mean, real nice guy. I basically really don't know what happened. I think I heard something where he had got some deal that he did with Nickelodeon, and I think he closed the deal or gave the people permission that he would do it before he may have talked to Vince. Now, I don't know this for real. I'm telling you what I heard. And they got hard at him about signing something or doing something with Nickelodeon and not letting them know about it. So I think that's where he got his heat at right there. Now, that's what I heard. I don't know. But I just think he was one of those guys like Cody, you know, like, hey, man, forget it. I'll just go and find something else to do.
I guess, Frank, he just got tired of being buried.
Yeah, Steve, you know, I think we've talked enough about burials today. Oh, the hell with it, yeah. The guy was buried. The guy would have been buried. I mean, he was really, honestly, he was in Cody Rhodes' shadow when you go back to Legacy. So, I don't know. I never really saw anything special with Ted DiBiase Jr., to be honest. I didn't see it. I mean, he had some buzz when he first got there, but then that disappeared. And then they put him with, he was managed by Maurice at one point, too. And after that, he just disappeared. You know, we had Ted DiBiase on this podcast, and he just basically said that Ted wanted to go and have a family, so that's what he did.
Yeah, it's just, you know, Teddy, it's just so difficult when you're the son of a legendary wrestler like American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, or Million Dollar Man. That's some tall shoes to try to fill.
Well, I don't think you should worry about trying to fill your father's shoes. I think you should worry about trying to fill your own shoes, you know what I mean, and be a perfect example for your dad or whoever was in the business, you know, and show them, you know, let the people know that you're just as good or even maybe better than your father was. So trying to fill somebody else's shoes is just not the deal. Just worry about, you know, being yourself and filling your own shoes.
Absolutely. And as we wrap here with Teddy Long, definitely check out teddylong.com is the website. And go ahead, play plug your social media as well.
Well, like you said, teddylong.com is the website. Twitter is at teddyplayerlong, and the Instagram is at teddylongwrestling. They can get in touch with me and follow me right there. And what I got going this month, you know, kind of easy month for me. On the 11th, I'm going to be down in Fort Lauderdale with Fighting Evolution Wrestling. And that's about it, players.
Absolutely. So definitely check out teddylong.com. And we should also mention here, Frank, that he's got a YouTube channel as well.
Yeah, Teddy Long has a YouTube channel. It's kind of hard to find, but we're going to take care of that. So the next time we do an episode of GRP, we'll definitely let you know how to find Teddy's YouTube channel and go up there and watch his videos and like his content. So we'll do that very shortly. And you can also subscribe today to the Gerwick.net YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Gerwick.net. We have a whole list of interviews that we've done up there in the past with Teddy Long and Honky Tonk Man, Sean Waltman, Two Cold Scorpio, Beautiful Bobby Eaton, just to name a few. So check it out today. So subscribe to our channel, like our videos, youtube.com/Gerwick.net, the place where we don't bury anybody.
Hey, what's up, players? This is Teddy Long. And if you want to look like a true player, then you need to get yourself a Gerwick Report Podcast T-shirt. That's right. Get yourself the Gerwick Report Podcast T-shirt, the same one that I'm wearing and sporting and looking good in it each and every day. And if you want to get one of them, all you got to do is go to Pro Wrestling Tees. That's ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. Get your T-shirt today, and you can look as pretty as me. Holla.